the many waters of Israel's national sins could not quench God's love.
As the deer pants for the water, so my soul longs after you.
Welcome to Perception. My name is Don Rule, and I speak every week on this program called Perception, which is a work of the Nile Street Church of Christ in Climate Falls, Oregon. We want to continue to look at the great book of Amos. Today we will be in Amos chapter 9. I believe that there's a passage in the Song of Solomon, which is an excellent way to illustrate God's love for Israel. Personally, I do not believe that the Song of Solomon is an allegory of God's love for Israel, but it is speaking of human love. However, it still provides a good example of how God loved Israel. The 8th chapter of the Song of Solomon, verse 7, has a verse that says this: "Many waters cannot quench love, nor can floods drown it. If a man would give for love all the wealth of his house, it would be utterly despised." How many times had Israel sinned according to the Old Testament? Well, it's so many, I don't know if anybody has even counted it. And how many times did God punish them? Yet he still loved Israel. Because the many waters of Israel's national sins could not quench God's love. He would deal with them severely when necessary. But he then gave all the wealth of his house for Israel when he gave his son to die for the nation and for the world. However, it was utterly despised. The same scripture I just read to you from out of God's word can illustrate God's love for the world. How many times has the world offended God? Yet, the world still exists because God still loves the world. The many waters of the world's sins could not quench God's love. He has dealt with the world severely when necessary, but then he gave all the wealth of his house for the world when he gave his son to die for everyone. However, it was utterly despised. What we have seen in the book of Amos is this: Israel had sinned repeatedly. There had been no repentance. Thus, God was promising to deal with the nation severely. Even so, they could not quench or drown out God's love. In chapter 5 of the book of Amos, God had promised that if they would repent, he would give them life. History documents that the nation never repented. However, in the last part of chapter 9, verse 8, which we'll see a little bit later, God all of a sudden gives a glimmer of hope it sounds like he is going to reverse all of the destruction. Things will be turned around, but in a much different way than Israel ever imagined. Because a flood of condemnation could not drown God's love. Now let me read to you verses 1 through 4. Amos wrote, I saw the Lord standing by the altar, and he said, Strike the doorposts, that the thresholds may shake, and break them on the heads of them all. I will slay the last of them with the sword. He who flees from them shall not get away, and he who escapes from them shall not be delivered. Though they dig into hell or Sheol, from there my hand shall take them. Though they climb up to heaven, from there I will bring them down. And though they hide themselves on top of Carmel, from there I will search and take them. Though they hide from my sight at the bottom of the sea, from there I will command the serpent, and it shall bite them. Though they go into captivity before their enemies, from there I will command the sword, and it shall slay them. I will set my eyes on them for harm and not for good. Yahweh, God, was standing by the altar. Often, when prophets saw the Lord, you will find that the prophet will say, I saw the Lord sitting. Now, in this text, he is standing, for he is taking the action he had promised earlier in the book. Now, the altar where God was standing was the place where sacrifices for sin was made. The sins of Israel had piled up high enough. So the Lord gives the command to destroy everything. The temple comes crashing down upon the nation of Israel. This image must not be forgotten because of what I will show you next week. See in your mind a temple that took $500 billion in 1998 dollars to build, now lying waste. The building is totally torn down. The temple is destroyed. For Israel did not use it to honor God, but as an opportunity to sin. Let me remind you of some of the passages we have seen. In Amos chapter 2, verse 8, it says, They lie down by every altar on clothes taken in pledge, and drink the wine of the condemned in the house of their God. Chapter 4, verses 4 and 5. Come to Bethel and transgress. At Gilgal, multiply transgression. Bring your sacrifices every morning, your tithes every 3 days. Offer a sacrifice of thanksgiving with leaven. Proclaim and announce the freewill offerings, for this you love, you children of Israel, says the Lord God. In other words, they were making it look as though they were religious, as though they were following God, but it was actually to idols that they were doing these things, but using God's things, God's religion, to do it. Chapter 5, verses 21 through 23. God said, I despise your feast days, and I do not savor your sacred assemblies. Though you offer me burnt offerings and your grain offerings, I will not accept them. Nor will I regard your fatted peace offerings. Take away from me the noise of your songs, for I will not hear the melody of your stringed instruments. So, when we come into Amos chapter 9, we see God finally ordering the death of the Israelites. So in other words, God no longer shows Amos the emblems or the symbols of the destruction, but the destruction itself. Now, remember that time had transpired between the various messages and visions of the book of Amos. Thus, by the time chapter 9 was written, it was quite obvious to God that Israel was not going to repent. There had been no signs of it. They only rebelled at the preaching of Amos and all the other prophets. This is why God could now show Amos Israel being destroyed. And he affirmed, God affirmed strongly, that there would be no escape. He said, as we read earlier, the thresholds would be broken on their heads. Others will be slain with the sword. He who does manage to escape that will be caught later. He says they will not be able to escape in Sheol. They will not be able to escape in heaven. He says they cannot hide on a mountaintop such as Carmel. They cannot hide at the bottom of the sea. Captivity among their neighbors will not be the last of the punishment. But even there, God said he would search out the captives and set them for destruction. God, the loving God, the God who was full of mercy and grace toward his people Israel, said that he would set his eyes on them for harm and not for good. Let me remind you of what we looked at in Amos chapter 5, verses 18 and 19. There it was said, "Woe to you who desire the day of the Lord! For what good is the day of the Lord to you? It will be darkness and not light. It will be as though a man fled from a lion and a bear met him, or as though he went into the house, leaned his hand on the wall, and a serpent bit him." In chapter 9, God is no longer using symbols such as what I just read to you, but he is showing in a vision the actual thing happening. Sinners try to hide themselves from God's judgment in many ways. Some will say, well, there isn't even a God in the first place. Romans 2 reveals that some people think that by self-righteous condemnation of others, God will exempt them from punishment, as though God was proud of such arrogance. Romans 2:3 says, "And do you think this, O man, you who judge those practicing such things and doing the same, that you will escape the judgment of God?" Some people suppose that grace means we may continue in sin. Some people don't deny God, but they just ignore him, so they think he will ignore them. A lot of people try to escape God's judgment by saying, well, Christianity or the Bible, that's just nothing more than your interpretation. My interpretation is different, so I won't be judged in the way that you say. There's also the false doctrine of once you're saved, you're always saved. Let's continue reading now in Amos chapter 9, verses 5 and 6. "The Lord God of hosts, he who touches the earth and it melts, and all who dwell there mourn. All of it shall swell like the river and subside like the river of Egypt. He who builds his lairs in the sky and has founded his strata in the earth, who calls for the waters of the sea and pours them out on the face of the earth, the Lord is his name." Israel and the world often forget who is God, and they forget who God is. All individuals and all nations who think they are the greatest have forgotten who is God and who God is. Look at Muhammad Ali. Remember how he used to boast that he was the greatest? But what is he now? With Parkinson's disease. He will eventually go the way of all nations and all people, that is, to the grave. Israel thought that she was invincible. Israel had to be reminded of who is God and who God is. And so Amos now gives a picture that can only fit Yahweh God or Jehovah God. In the verses that I read to you, did you notice the vivid picture that Amos was painting for us? He showed us God's effect upon the earth. He just touches the earth and it can melt. He can cause all who dwell on the earth to mourn. All of it can swell and subside like the river Egypt. He builds his layers in the sky, perhaps referring to the different parts of our atmosphere. The point is, he is the one who builds up the sky. Who can make such a boast? He has founded his strata in the earth. If God had not caused the different strata of the earth, then do you realize how much we would not be able to do? Now, Noah's flood certainly caused much of the layering. But God also put the different minerals, metals, and chemicals in the earth for our benefit. He causes the rain, Amos said. Now, he said it's the waters of the sea that supply the water for the face of the earth. Now, who created this whole process of evaporation and then moving the clouds over the land and then dropping the water down? Friends, we are at the mercy of the weather. You know, scientists speak all the time of trying to control the weather. Well, we'll wait and see what happens. Do you see what a wonderful design there is in the worldwide weather system that God created? Do you know who this God is? Well, Amos said, Yahweh is his name. It is the God of the Bible who has done these wonderful things. He is the one God over all. Peoples the world over claim that their gods have created the earth and its different parts. But not so. Earlier in the book of Amos, Amos showed us wonderful powers of God. Let me read them to you again. Amos 4, verse 13, had already stated similar truths to what I've just read to you from Amos chapter 9. Amos 4:13 says, "For behold, he who forms mountains and creates the wind, who declares to man what his thought is, and makes the morning darkness, who treads the high places of the earth, the Lord God of hosts is his name." Or that could be translated, the Yahweh God of hosts is his name. In Amos 5 and verse 8 it said, "He made the Pleiades and Orion," referring to two constellations up in the sky. "He turns the shadow of death into morning and makes the day dark as night. He calls for the waters of the sea and pours them out on the face of the earth. The Lord," or Yahweh, "is his name." Now, Amos is not done. In Amos 9 now, and verse 7, he continued to write, "Are you not like the people of Ethiopia to me, O children of Israel, says the Lord? Did I not bring up Israel from the land of Egypt, the Philistines from Kaphtor, and the Syrians from Kerr?" How were or who were the people of Ethiopia to God? Evidently, as with many other nations, God had rejected them. And this must have been known by Israel, which is why God brings it up. Israel and Ethiopia were not friends. So for God to say that Israel was now like Ethiopia to him, was a strong statement against Israel. God had delivered Israel, as well as other nations, from other oppressive nations. God took Israel from the land of Egypt. God took the Philistines from Kaphtor, and God took the Syrians from Kir. But now he was saying that he was sending Israel back to captivity. Israel had gone into captivity before to be saved during the days of the famine in the days of Joseph. However, it was no longer the same nation. That is, it just wasn't the same kind of people that existed in the days of Joseph and the following generations. Well, what kind of nation was it? He now says in Amos 9, verse 8, "Behold, the eyes of the Lord God are on the sinful kingdom, and I will destroy it from the face of the earth. Yet I will not utterly destroy the house of Jacob, says the Lord." God was watching the sinful kingdom of Israel. It was once the righteous kingdom, which had a king whose heart was like God's, if you remember. It was a nation that delivered to the world the writings of the Old Testament, along with the New Testament, the greatest writings in the world. But they were now a sinful nation, which God was going to destroy from the face of the earth. Then, unexpectedly at the end of verse 8 here, God gives a little tiny ray of light. A ray of light shines through the gloom and the doom. And here is the glimmer of hope. God said that he would not utterly destroy the house of Jacob because he always left a remnant. And next week, I will show you the bright future for the true Israel of God. Likewise, my friends, God offers our world a glimmer of hope. I know that things can be very depressing. The world itself can be very depressing. The consequences of our sin can be very depressing. Reading of God's condemnation in the Bible can be very depressing. Amazingly, the world is still here, for God has not ended everything yet. There is a famous passage in the Bible that offers a glimmer of hope. John 3:16 is that famous passage. But I want you to listen to what Jesus went on to say through verse 18. So I'll read John 3:16-18. He does show that the world is living under condemnation. That's why the words of John 3:16 are so beautiful. However, we need to realize that what I'm about to read to you comes to us as the last glimmer of hope to save the world. Jesus said, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He who believes in him is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God." You see, Jesus did not come into the world to condemn the world because the world is already condemned. He came to the world to save us from that condemnation. The only way to escape the condemnation is through Jesus Christ. The Nile Street Church of Christ in Klamath Falls, Oregon, wants to show you how to escape the condemnation that is through Christ. We want to encourage you to worship with the church. Bible classes start at 10 and then worship at 11. The members of the church would be delighted to meet you. and to sit down with you and show you in the Scriptures the way of Jesus Christ on what He teaches to be saved. Now, my friends, in the Yellow Pages, you will find a map for directions on how to get to the Niles Street Church of Christ. The phone number is there, worship times, everything you need to know. Won't you come down and worship with the church? Till next Sunday, sharpen your perception of the glimmer of hope that God offers to you. This has been Perception with Don Rule and the Niles Street Church of Christ in Klamath Falls, Oregon. Thank you for listening.
Lord, the light of your love is shining in the midst of the darkness shining. Jesus, light of the world, shine upon us. Set us free by the truth you now bring us. Shine on me. Shine on me. Lord, I come to your awesome presence. From the shadows into your radiance. By the blood I may enter your brightness. Search me, try me, consume all my darkness. Shine on me. Shine on me. Shine, Jesus, shine. Fill this land with the Father's glory. Lay Spirit, lay, set our hearts on fire. Glory to the world, by the nations, with grace and mercy, send forth your word, Lord, and let there be light. As we gaze on your kingly brightness, so our faces display your likeness.